It is time for Mondays with Mike here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. What do you wonder about WPR? What do you like the most? What don't you care for? This is the hour we set aside to hear about the new developments at WPR, the new faces, the cool new projects, the events happening around the state, and most importantly, learn about what's on your mind at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. Mike Crane is director of Wisconsin Public Radio. Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, so let's look at programming to start out. Before we talk about what's coming up, let's look at what happened. Last week, there was a lot of special coverage on WPR. Can you remind us what was covered and what it consisted of?
Sure. The biggest change in our schedule was certainly the Cohen hearings. It was a really great behind-the-scenes discussion about deciding what to broadcast and not. And except I should say that's normally how it is here, is that we have really great behind-the-scenes discussions to figure out what to bring you on the radio. And so we had the Cohen special, and then the folks on Central Time were ready to come out of the live broadcast from Washington, had a great conversation. And then you all had one in the morning.
Had an hour on it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And so that was just, in terms of our special programs, that was really great. We also had a special from 1A that was on the evening before your live broadcast. And just really, it's a challenge because everybody likes their regular programming, which we'll probably get to for another reason in just a little bit. But we also feel like we have to think about this idea. There's an old saying that journalists love about how a newspaper or the radio is the first rough draft of history. And when you're making a decision about a live broadcast, you don't know if it's going to be history or just something to have tossed aside. But the thing that was striking while we were on the air with that is that our audience services folks, if people are really unhappy, tend to get a lot of calls about that. And they said they weren't. So my sense, and anecdotally only, we don't have any stats on this, is that people appreciated hearing that broadcast.
All right. Well, we've got a full phone lines already. Let's go to the phones now with Jim in Westby. Jim, hi.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to offer a program or a series of programs on reimbursement systems that affect the private pay and insurance payments. For example, the governor called for increases in eligibility, but no increases in Medicaid reimbursement. And that just further complicates the problem. So it seems like the head of the Long-Term Care Nursing Home Association, State Medical Society, the Hospital Association, the insurance representative could give you a whole series of shows on uncompensated care, non-collectibles, cost shifting.
And Jim, healthcare is so complicated. Mike Crane, there's a lot to dig into.
Yeah, I think we could have a ton of programs. And I was just thinking, Jim, as you were talking about it, that there were some proposals, as you're saying, from the governor's budget. And it sounds like there'll be a lot of discussion in the legislature as well because of the understandable disagreements about how to fund it and what's policy and what's budget and all that. And so we'll be covering that as well. So thanks very much for the suggestion. It's definitely on our mind.
And Jim, one of the things we follow internally here is NPR's Shots blog. They have this great healthcare blog called Shots, something that I really like to read up on. So that's something that you could perhaps seek out. Mike, on March 13th, WPR is going to be airing a live concert broadcast. What can you tell us about the Final Forte?
This is just a wonderful broadcast of hearing some young people playing with the Madison Symphony Orchestra. These are the winners of the Bowles Young Artist Competition. And gosh, it's been 10, almost 15 years, I think, that we've been doing this with Wisconsin Public Television and Wisconsin Public Radio and the Madison Symphony. And what's really wonderful, not too many concerts of this level of quality, because it's the Madison Symphony and these amazing young people, are free. But you can get tickets for this for free as well as listen to the live broadcast. And you just have to go to madisonsymphony.org and scroll down there and you'll find the link about the Final Forte, which is the name of the broadcast along with that competition.
It sounds like such a great cross-collaborative effort to really advance classical music.
Yeah, and you know, we are mindful of the fact that our News and Classical Network exposes more people to classical music than any other venue in our state. And so being a part of that in this really visceral way is just a wonderful piece of our year for us.
There are also some changes coming to our online program notes. What can you tell us about those?
Well, you know, it's funny. We have found, as with many things, how challenging it can be to take what we put together on the radio, which is, you know, we figure that out, but then to have it come alive on our website in a way that's really useful is a challenge. So we're reconfiguring. There's an e-newsletter that some people are already subscribed to that can be a little bit different. It'll be focused more on the Wisconsin stuff, and then for the stuff that it's proven to be really hard to find from the national programs, because they don't always send stuff in advance, that kind of thing. We're going to be working on talking to them about ways we can make that a smoother process and leave more time for our staff to focus on booking guests and all the other things that make our shows really strong. So I can't predict yet exactly when we'll figure that out, but those that get the newsletter will notice a little difference, I'm sure.
And also some improvements to the talk show pages on WPR.org. What might those look like? What might those changes look like?
I'd say the biggest thing that we're aware of is that we could use even better mechanisms than we have for participating with the show as you're going. So, you know, things like finding those photographs of bugs or whatever that Larry Mueller has, or other ways to communicate with us during this show, that kind of thing, that should be coming. You know, it's interesting, too. The typical thing in the web world is to talk about version 1, version 2, version 3.
And the iterations.
The iterations. and we're somewhere in version 2. It might be 2.76322F, something like that, because we're changing it constantly. But we're also aware of the need to take a leap to version 3, and that's because the way people are using the web is really changing. The current version still has a lot of the I find everything on my desktop kind of style to it, and over time we've been migrating a lot more of that to working really well on a mobile phone.
Let's go to Roger now, joining us near Cambridge. Roger, good morning.
Good morning.
What's on your mind?
Well, I'm interested in why there isn't a conservative host for some of these programs or shows that you put on each day.
And what shows in particular? When do you listen?
Well, I listen generally in the morning. And it's the information things about different things they do that you do in the morning hours. Mm-hmm. And I think that I would like to see a conservative point of view presented as a host. And whoever they interview is up to the radio station or how they ever do that. But I think we need something on that side.
All right.
Yeah, thanks,
Mike?
Thanks for the suggestion. I will tell you and everybody, Roger, that whether a host is conservative or liberal or anything else is really not a filter that we apply. What we ask of all of our hosts, and you know this, Kate, is we ask them to really, as best they can possibly do it, to check any biases that any natural human will have. Check them at the door, because we're concerned that, and I think this is underlying your request, Roger, is that all kinds of views are reflected and that we don't ignore that. You know, at any given time, a view that you might have hasn't been reflected. And so we keep working hard at doing that. So thanks for the call, Roger.
Talking with WPR's director, Mike Crane, stays with us on this edition of Mondays with Mike. You have a line at 800-642-1234. And we'll be back with more, maybe hear from you, on the Ideas Network. We've arrived at the first Monday of March. You're here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. What do you wish for WPR to work on this year? What do you want to hear more of? There's a line for you on this edition of Mondays with Mike. Mike Crane is director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and he's here to gather your thoughts, your insights at 800-642-1234. You can send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Mike, continuing this thread on programming, we heard from Kathy from Watertown, says she misses the People's Pharmacy airing at 2 o'clock on Saturdays. Is there any plan to change that?
Not currently, although I appreciate the comment from Kathy. We're always trying to figure out what is the best broadcast schedule, and it's a dance,
it's
you know. One of the things that we look at is we do receive the Nielsen ratings, and the best access we have to that is actually from Milwaukee, simply because they have the PPMs, the people meters, mm-hmm. and so we can get things more quickly. But we do look at that, and one of the things that was going on that caused us to let go of the afternoon broadcast is that that afternoon schedule in general seemed to have pretty low listening, and so we thought we'd try something different. But People's Pharmacy, although not this weekend because we had some technical problems, but People's Pharmacy does remain on in the early morning on the Ideas Network.
Let's go to Gary now, joining us from Glendale. Hi, Gary.
Good morning, Kate. Good morning, Mike. This is actually my third try to get a definitive answer from you, Mike.
Okay. I'll give another try to give a definitive answer.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Since Kathleen Dunn retired and Chuck Quernbach has moved over to WWM, I still have heard very little evidence of anything coming out of the Milwaukee studio, or whether your plans for Milwaukee coverage could be better clearly defined than the previous two answers you gave to me. Are we headed towards a merger with WWM?
You know, it's funny that you asked that. I got a call from Dave Edwards, who's the general manager there, who's retiring. And I mentioned that just because it's never been off of his or my mind. I'm sure that possibility exists. But Dave said, you know, I think I might leave that question to any successor. But we get along really well, the two stations, and it's actually been fun being in public radio as long as I have, that one of the folks that works on Lake Effect is someone I used to work with in Vermont.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's just such a small world. But no, we're not contemplating a merger with WWM at this time. We do continue to look for opportunities to work together. And I want to get, Gary, to your question about the fate of our Milwaukee studios. We just plan on renewing the lease, and we actually have more people based there than we have in quite a while because we've been building up the news team. I think one of the reasons that Chuck was so noticeable in that studio is that he often filed for NPR as well. That was kind of an extra thing that he was especially focused on. And in fact, we still hear him once in a while filing for NPR from WUWM, just actually literally across the street from WPR studios. But we have Kyla Calvert-Mason, our assistant news director there. We didn't used to have that level of news folks based there. We have Corrine Hess. And our Second Century Fellow, which we're going to be selecting a new one soon, is also based in the Milwaukee studios. So we've been actually building that up. I think that doesn't relate to what you're looking for, though, which would be, are we going to do a talk show from there? Again, no current plans, but the studios certainly have that capability. And among other things we've talked about is, could the shows we're now doing move around the state more? And that's something we're trying to figure out, what would be the most effective, efficient, and most popular way of doing those things. I don't know if that's enough, Gary, but those are the things on my mind.
Let's go to Jacob now in Madison with thoughts. Jacob, hi.
Hi. I would like to counter a comment made just a couple of callers ago in a complaint about not enough conservative radio represented. And that is that I think almost all commercial radio available across the spectrum is conservative. I would like more progressive radio on public radio. And from what I can tell, comparatively, there's only one small progressive community radio station in the Madison area. So I think that your approach to trying to keep things balanced and from either edge is the best approach.
So we've heard now both sides there.
That happens a lot on the Mondays with Mike segment, doesn't it? Thank you, Jacob, for your comment and certainly reflecting the another side. I think there are many, many sides to things, but another side from Roger's comment earlier. One of the things I think about, Kate, is something that the current chair of the National Public Radio Board said, because this comes up nationally as well as locally about the programs on public radio stations. And he said, we don't want a biased audience. We want an informed audience. And so that is really what we're striving for, is not any one bias or another. Human beings have biases, but we're really trying to make sure that we're providing what we can to keep us all very informed so we can be good citizens and good neighbors.
Well, there's a question here, a comment that came in from Listener Services. They said they had supported WPR for two decades until the repeated dropping of programs that they like caused them to stop their support. During pledge drives, they say, you ask for support for a listener's favorite programs. How do I tell you I don't like your programming changes?
Well, obviously they just did it. And so if it came in from Audience Services, most commonly these days, that's an email to listener@wpr.org. And so thanks to that listener for communicating that. You know, we have a more than 100-year history, and one of the things we talk about is that that's not a history of staying the same. It's a history of responding to what's going on in our world now. And so that's why our talk shows have changed over time. Sometimes something does get canceled or rescheduled, that sort of thing, and there's no doubt it can be jolting. In fact, earlier Roger mentioned a retirement, and Kathleen Dunn in that case, and Joy Cardine retired from The Morning and so on. Those are really nervous times for radio stations, because it's possible to lose a lot of audience from a favorite person, and then it takes a long time to build audience back. And we've actually been very pleased that we've worked so hard to continue great offerings and to hire great hosts like you, Kate, and so on, that we've been holding on to audience pretty darn well. And I think as we get settled in with our new schedules, most people that tune in will like it, and some won't. And so I'm sorry that does happen.
Let's go to Melissa now, joining us from Merrill. Melissa, hi, what's on your mind?
Yes, I was just calling in because I noticed that a lot of the programs that you do is, you know, based on, you know, racial items and things of that nature. But some of it has a lot of bias in it. Like, you had a couple programs talking about children recognizing race as young as infants. But the reality is that I have, you know, mixed racial children. They're half Asian. Their friends never noticed that they were different, and it wasn't they didn't notice that they were different, you know, most of their lives. And so I think when they're raised in a multicultural fashion, without those biases put upon them, they don't recognize it. In fact, there was one little girl who looked at me one day and she goes, I know a secret about you. You're Chinese. Well, I'm not.
Well, I'm going to pause. Let's pause right there, Melissa. We do have a number of authors who are on their programs across our networks and bringing their books and what they have to say from those books.
Yeah. In fact, I would say that one of the most common comments I get, and in some ways it's like yours, Melissa, is how our listeners disagree with the author. And among the challenges we face in hosting any author is there are some things that because we're very well prepared, we can kind of challenge a particular assumption the author makes. But we do also count on callers to raise their own questions. And kind of the way that I think ideas unfold on the Ideas Network is that they do so over time. And so thank you for that. And race and ethnicity is going to continue to be a big topic because it's a big topic in our culture.
Let's go to Kenneth in Janesville. Kenneth, hi.
Hello. I'm wondering, how do you take listener ratings and how do you measure who's listening? Do the programs, the national programs, how do you do do you decide to put them on WPR?
Great questions,
yeah.
Kenneth. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Kenneth. So, yes, we use the Nielsen ratings as one of the factors that we look at because there's that old saying about no money, no mission, right? And we have a mission. And you have to have listeners in order to be able to raise the funds needed to have listener support. And so that's what factor we look at is the actual ratings. We also look at what other stations are doing, what listeners are requesting. And then we use our own best judgment, which can be questioned and is. But that's how we arrive at the choices about national programs as well.
We are with WPR's director, Mike Crane, stays with us during this March edition of Mondays with Mike. Do you have a question or something to share? What is your favorite program, and what's one you could do without? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Are there new things you'd like to hear out of WPR? Are there things you wish we would do better? Call in, tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll be back with more Mondays with Mike, maybe hear from you after this news update on the Ideas Network. Gathering your feedback, getting an update on WPR from Mike Crane, WPR's director on this edition of Mondays with Mike. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. And how cool is it that no matter where you roam in Wisconsin, you're bound to hear your Wisconsin Public Radio. 38 stations statewide, 7 bureaus, 500,000 listeners strong. And this hour, we're hearing your thoughts and fielding your questions in all corners of the state. Join in at 800-642-1234. You can send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Let's go back to the phones now with John joining us from Boaz. Hi, John.
Hi. Yes, I miss Joy Cardine's show. And Kate is very, very good. She's a good diplomat, and she has a lot of energy.
John, I appreciate that. That's very kind of you. What's on your mind in terms
well,
of how...
I had a near-death experience that I'd like to share, because many people have, and most people who haven't seen near-death or what's on the other side are afraid or... they just take it for granted that they have life. So I would like to ask that you think about a program on the value of life.
A program on the value of life. Mike?
Yeah, I like that idea. I think there are a lot of opportunities for us that sometimes we get to, but maybe not quite enough, about those sort of more philosophical, spiritual things that, you know, it sounds like, John, you had the kind of experience that makes you just think, boy, am I lucky to be here. Mm-hmm. And I know many people who have, and so that could be a great hour of talking for sure as a call-in. So we'll add that to the list. We're always looking for great ideas for programs and great guests, and so thanks.
Yeah, John, thanks for being with us each morning.
And glad you're here.
Yes. Let's go to Travis now in Waukesha. Travis, hi.
How's it going, guys? Good morning.
Hi.
So I guess I first of all I'd say that you guys are doing a great job overall. I mean, I'm a 26 year old listener. I've been listening for the last 2 years. This is, you know, pretty much all that plays in my radio. My girlfriend finds it crazy that I drive for 2 hours and just can listen to WPR.
we don't thanks. Find it crazy at all. No,
I love it. I love it. So, anyways, my comment was over the last couple weeks, I've noticed there's some time. I listen to 90.7. I'm located in Waukesha, so I listen to 90.7, and I've noticed a couple times now in the last couple weeks where during the middle of the day when there's usually like, you know, 1A or something playing, it's just dead silent for, you know, hours on end. And I didn't know if there's a notification, like, call line we can call and let you guys know so you guys, I guess, are aware sooner than later, or if there's a, you know, system in place that we could help you guys out when it comes to knowing when there's dead air, because
I
wouldn't want dead air.
Right. Yeah. Travis, thanks.
Yeah, we've had a couple of extra big problems in the last few weeks, so you're noticing something that definitely is very real. So first of all, let's address what you can do. You can certainly contact us at our listener services line. You might get a message, but everything is checked as well. And that's 800-747-7444, 800-747-7444. Or if you're maybe not while you're driving, but send it listener@WPR.org is where we get a lot of our contact about such things. And here's sort of the bigger story. You know that metaphor about keeping a lot of plates in the air? Well, that wonderful network that Kate described at the beginning of the message is also a lot of plates in the air. And right now we're in the midst of a pretty massive upgrade of our systems. And I just saw the memo from our director of engineering, Brittany Williams, who's amazing. But she's also just facing a tremendous number of things where, you know, you unplug something and then you plug it in this other place. That's simplifying to be sure, but we made a massive change over the weekend, and I'm honestly amazed we didn't lose more time. But it does address some of the questions. Like I got an email directly to my email address, someone asking, well, what happened to People's Pharmacy? And this week we had to go with a backup because we had the BBC feed running and we were able to keep something on the air. But we definitely want to know, and we do have a measure in place that usually helps not get us to the point of multiple minutes, which is that we have silence detectors on all of the transmitters, and we have the folks at the Educational Communications Board Master Control who are checking all of the stations periodically. And sometimes still things happen. I know Saturday morning, for instance, we had a stretch on one of our networks where we were out for quite a while, and it was because even all of those backups weren't enough to hold it into the broadcast, and that they got it fixed. But rest assured, they were going nuts here trying to get it done.
Or just to lose NPR News is a really big deal, or to lose Morning Edition for a small chunk of time. I mean, listeners are relying on that information.
Yeah, and we know it. And so the end result of all of this work is going to be a more flexible, more reliable system. But as we're converting from some things that have been placed probably since the 70s in some cases, that's been a big challenge.
Let's go to Anne in Green Bay. Anne, hi.
Good morning. I would really like your radio professionals, and that includes your reporters like Sean Johnson, to clean up their language skills. I am so tired of hearing and gonna. What does gonna mean? What does wanna mean? What does ta mean? You are all professionals. You should all be much better spoken than you are, and it's all this stuff is just ad nauseum.
Anne, thank you so much for the call.
Anne, I was an English major, and so this is this is a topic of great interest. There are a few things to think about. One is that in the midst of a call-in show, especially a talk show, we are literally thinking these things up as we go, and sometimes we do fall short on the ums and ahs. I've noticed that. If it's a BBC program, it's not an it's an M. But you hear a lot of those on the BBC as well, and that sort of thing. It is a real challenge, and even for the people that do it all the time. As for the casualness of the speaking, though, I think I would disagree with you a bit, because there has been an evolution in broadcasting from the formal tones of broadcasting, which I learned in and still sometimes have the habit of, and what I hear nowadays, which is a much more casual way of speaking. I hear it not just from our hosts, but I hear it on all the NPR programs, that sort of thing. And we could debate whether that's right or not. And so maybe you and I are indirectly. But I think part of it is that the language keeps changing. And so things that were casual and therefore not in formal speech have now entered what we might think of as formal speech. I think we could do lots of shows just about that, because I'm an English major.
The grammar police.
Yes, that's right.
Gary from Iron River called in to ask, WPR's ability to stay on the air on 90.3 and 90.9 from Superior and Ashland, respectively, it's gotten worse and worse lately. He goes into some detail about the problem and says it's time to focus on operational reliability and do what is necessary to stay on the air with a signal that's carrying the program it is supposed to and is broadcasting a signal carrying a high-quality sound signal. So what about those transmissional operations?
Well, one of the things that all of those transmissions are really subject to and has been a big problem this winter is icing. In fact, we had the station in Green Bay nearly off, WHID, because of some icing problems over multiple days. So what can happen is you have those antennas on the tower and sometimes rapidly very thick ice forms. And the risk to the station is that that ice actually blocks them. This will be my simple non-engineer explanation, but it blocks the electricity in a way that can cause the electricity to overpower the transmitter itself and blow it up, essentially, if you don't lower power because of all of that icing. And when that happens, you may have to wait for days until that clears up because it can get so thick. And we've even had instances where as the ice is melting, it may fall off and smash a transmission line and so on. And certainly, Superior and Ashland, you know this better than I do sitting here in Madison. You've had a heck of a lot of crazy weather. And, you know, we've watched the news about Lake Superior being 80 or 90% mm-hmm. frozen over. So that's a lot of the time why things are. And even, and I really do believe this, we have an amazing engineering crew who will go to great lengths to keep things going. Those weather things can be really tough on equipment.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the spring membership drive, which is right around the corner. What can you tell us?
We'll be raising money for Wisconsin Public Radio. it's basically we have a number of pledge drives over the course of the year, and they're not the only method that we use to raise money for WPR by any means, but they are really the single most important. What I think of, and here we are, we're a traditionally agricultural state, I think of this as a kind of a barn raising where we all get together and we make WPR possible. And something like 40% of our funds in a typical year are raised from listeners during the pledge drive, in the renewal mail you get, sustainers, annual givers, all coming together to make WPR possible.
Any cool gifts, pledge gifts this year? Have you checked them out?
I have not checked them out yet. I was traveling last week, and I know that's starting to fold out. So do you have a hint that I don't?
I think there is a T-shirt in the mix.
Of course there is, yeah.
You know, who could go without their WPR T-shirt, right?
That's right. So that'll be coming up, and we'll look forward to having your support if we don't already.
Well, it's always fun to the pledge drives because it really rallies around what we're all about, and you get that reinforcement of what people are appreciating and liking about public radio.
And back to an earlier question about, well, we ask for your favorite programs. Well, yes, because during the pledge drive, the thing we're trying to do is to help someone else be inspired like you are to make your pledge of support. And so using the other methods like listener at WPR.org when you're unhappy as well as happy, that's just fine.
What's been on your mind as you listen to WPR? What questions do you have about programming and operations? You're with us for Mondays with Mike here on The Morning Show. WPR's director, Mike Crane, is behind the mic. Happy to field your questions and comments at 800-642-1234. Email them our way at ideas@WPR.org. Stick around for more conversation. We'll be back in just a moment on the Ideas Network. We're talking through the changes, the updates, the cool new projects, the events, and your thoughts front and center on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're with us for another installment of Mondays with Mike. Go ahead and chat with WPR's director, Mike Crane. Let's go back to the phones now with Derek joining us from Chicago. Derek, good morning.
Yes, good morning. My name is Derek, and I'm a youth correspondent with Belgium Public Radio, Radio Centrale out of Antwerp. About 3 years ago, I had a really extensive conversation with Mr. Crane about perhaps an idea of comparing U.S. coverage of the international issues and the foreign coverage.
And- oh, and- and he just dropped off. Our bummer is right.
Yeah. I can definitely say that is it's of interest to us. In fact, one of the reasons why we have coverage from the CBC and the BBC in particular is that you do get a different angle on the news when you're listening to others and how they cover it. So as it happens, for instance, when you tune in the evening here on the Ideas Network, you may find very different perspective that the Canadians have on news that's happening here. Or if you listen in a more cultural vein to Q, you find they have a different take on culture, even when they're talking about American culture. And so that is definitely an interest of ours. And sorry we lost you there, Derek, but thanks for the reminder of that good thought.
Let's go to Glenn now in Stoughton. Glenn, hi.
Hello.
Hi, Glenn.
Hi there. With the Wisconsin Film Fest right around the corner, I thought maybe you could have author Alicia Malone, who is one of the Turner Classic Movie hosts. She had a book out last year called The Female Gaze, and it's about films directed by female directors.
Well, we'll certainly take a look at her work, Glenn. Thank you so much for that. It's just it's always fabulous to get input on what people would like to have as programs, because we have pitch meetings twice a week and we're pitching ideas for programs, and it's sure lovely when programs come to us, ideas come to us from listeners.
Absolutely. So keep them coming. And, it's Women's History Month, so this might be a great time to schedule something like that on one of our broadcasts.
Let's go to Christina now in Glenwood City. Christina, hi.
Hi there. Thank you. Now, I am calling you from Glenwood City, so I believe my closest radio station would be Eau Claire, and I'm wondering if there are any planned meet and greets with the host. I think it'd be fun to get together and visit and...
I agree. I think it would be too, Christina.
It's fun for us, Christina.
Yeah.
You know, most of the time we're imagining you listeners, and so to meet you in person is a real joy. So I don't have a schedule in my head, but what I can certainly tell you is it'll be announced on the radio stations in that area and in our newsletters and things like that. And we definitely do we call them listener appreciation events. We do those around the state every year. And so it's a bit of a moving feast because our hosts, want to be there. And so we schedule them pretty carefully. And definitely once the weather is warmer, because we've had a couple of instances where we've scheduled something in, for other reasons, maybe in the middle of the winter or something. But in your area, you have been hit when
yes.
it comes to snow. I remember being at an event in River Falls. It was a WPR event a couple of years ago, and was actually staying in Eau Claire. And that drive back in the midst of a snowstorm was kind of interesting. I made it. I'm still here. But we will definitely be doing things like that. So do stay tuned.
Let's go to Dick now, joining us from Middleton. Dick, hi.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. First of all, I just wanted to say that Kate's a breath of fresh air, doing a nice job. But what I'm in the past, and I've been critical because of public radio, maybe not getting coverage as much because being a conservative. But the way your programs are run today, that is the way I think they should be. It keeps both sides on topic. So I appreciate that type of programming. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Dick. As I know we've talked about on the Mondays with Mike segment many times, Kate, doing that where you have a conservative and a liberal or something like that, that can actually be pretty dicey for us as program hosts, because some of the guests, they kind of default to talking points rather than having a conversation. And so it's really great to know when it's working, and we'll keep that in mind as we try to book guests.
And trying to get that equal time across in the constraints of a schedule. Let's go to Darlene now in Eau Claire. Darlene, hi.
Hi.
What's on your mind, Darlene?
I listen to public radio a lot. And recently, I don't know how many, it's like 6 months or so, you folks are having a program, and then you cut into the middle of a program, and it certainly sounds like a commercial by any other name, and then you go back to the program. And I don't understand why, and that's really irritating.
Well, I'm sorry that it's irritating. Actually, Darlene, the story there, and it's actually not as new as you're perceiving, because this goes back, I remember many years ago, Morning Edition, for instance, had about every 10 minutes there was such a break, and more public radio imitated that over the course of time. And the idea there is that the shows are structured so that the national program, or in our case, a statewide program, can do its work, and then the local stations can promote events or other programs that might be on those local stations. And those breaks are built in. And it also gives us the opportunity to thank the business donors and the major givers and all the rest. So that is the way they're structured. And I'm sorry that it feels like an interruption. It can be a challenge for us, too. You know, I'm looking at the clock and knowing that in about 3 minutes or less, we're going to get the hook and be taken out of here because the newscast has to come on and all the rest.
Let's go to Tom now in Black River Falls with thoughts. Tom, hi. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi. I really appreciate all your work and everything. But that little comment, I love the folk music thing on Sundays and stuff, and it's kind of funny if you see me in my apartment because I do like to catch a little 60 minutes, but with the folk thing, so I'm going back and forth. But I enjoy everything on your program, Intelligent People and stuff, and thank you, and keep up the good work.
Well, so Tom has Simply Folk on, but then he's trying to keep an ear on 60 Minutes. So it sounds like there's a little bit of tug of war there, Tom.
Yeah, you know, Tom, we do live in a golden age of content. You know that? There's just so many good things to listen to. We haven't even talked this time about podcasting, but whether it's the WPR programs you can listen to on a delay basis, including Simply Folk, or the incredible number of TV channels you can choose from, this is a really good era. And so the fact that we still have 500,000 listeners a week, that's really a thrill for us because it means there's still great radio happening too.
Let's go to Pat in Milwaukee. Pat, hi.
Hi. I wanted to hear more one-hour topics on the morning show. It seems like you've gone to the breakup of maybe 5 or 10 minutes, then 20, and you know, as it breaks up over the hour. And then 3 hours of new programming rather than the repeat in that last hour. And related to that, I guess I was a big fan of Kevin McKinley and Finance Issues, and I just don't hear as much of that as I did before.
Pat, thanks so much for the call.
Yeah. There's always, I think I used the phrase earlier today about a dance. There's so many things to choose from, and we are trying to do that. Yes, you're absolutely right. We've been doing more of the multiple topic hours on the morning show with the belief that there are some topics that, unlike Mondays with Mike, apparently, don't necessarily generate a lot of calls, but really do need to be on the Ideas Network as an important topic. And we had piloted that maybe, 5 years or more ago now on Central Time, and so we're doing some of that in the mornings. We are working toward getting back to a full 3 hour on the morning show. We've been kind of extra short staffed for a while and reconfiguring for longer than we were comfortable with. And so, for instance, last week we did that live hour at 8 o'clock when ordinarily we might have repeated. So we have the flexibility to do that as the news dictates. And in the future, I think we'll get back to that as a regular thing. Thanks, Pat.
Mike, thank you for taking the hour with us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. And I guess next time I'll only have a half hour on Central Time, but it's good to be here with our listeners. And
Mike,
you.
Mike Crane is director of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Stay with us for On Point. The United Methodist Church votes to maintain a ban on LGBTQ clergy and same-sex marriage. Is a schism inevitable? We put that to a roundtable of Methodist voices. That's On Point coming up next. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.